The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Us. Had to do something different for Inauguration Day.
It's almost here.
That's right. Good morning, Sovereign Mind! Yeah, that's for all you patriots out there. You're listening to Sovereign Minds. I'm on Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Those are called Bidenisms now. Good morning, under the pressure.
You know what I mean.
Of course, the hair on my legs isn't standing up yet, but
that's disgusting.
Never mind. Okay. Today is Sunday.
Is it blonde in the sun, or is it?
Really? Do we really have to go there?
Yeah. No. You know, he's on his way out, and.
Yay.
And that's a great thing. And so, you know, we want to send him out. You know, here. So are we hooked up in there? Good to go. All right. So this is for the we got to play this for the outgoing president here.
I'm just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling his romance. Oh, what they say. There will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just to do the laws. Life goes on without me.
Yep. Life goes on. I predict.
I don't know if he could be a gigolo.
Well, he's definitely a prostitute because
of a different kind.
For sale to the highest bidder.
Yeah. Somebody wants to pay for that.
Yeah, I predict that the only lasting impression that he's going to have in history, and it's not going to be favorable, is going to be example of a fraudulent, corrupt official on being bribed by every foreign country that would give him money. Just saying.
Oh, they're going to remember him as Sniffy.
Sniffy, yeah.
Just saying.
Hey, boy.
Anyway. I mean,
I'm here in the studio. My name is Mark Kent. I am your host once again. And we want to thank you all for listening in. We're here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
Very good. And also, the kid that rocks around the clock, faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than high-speed download, 10th through Black Belt and Ram, Cyber Dave Johnson!
Good morning, 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 morning. And we are live on Rumble.
We are.
To rumble.com/fires, or just look up Fireside News over there. We're verified and broadcasting for your streaming enjoyment.
And Dave, our humble producer, who will be shortly replaced by Christine at the second hour.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Christina will not be here today.
Oh, no. Never mind.
Because Tokens is moving to Tuesday.
Ooh.
Tokens radio show will now be on Tuesday nights. Is that correct, Linda?
That is, starting February 5th.
Okay, so we're starting to kind of adjust the schedule around. And,
yeah.
Yeah,
we're moving to Tuesday nights.
Okay. So, with that said, do we have any announcements? Or,
we always have announcements.
Let's get to our announcements. I'll do Julie Foster first, Allstate insurance agent down at 810 Main Street. I was just down there visiting her the other day. Great gal. She's in Red Bluff there at 530-527-5534. She's the best, and I'll tell you what, she takes care of all my insurance needs, and, she does
some
a great
of mine.
Job.
Yeah, she does.
Well, maybe not all. I have more insurance than I need. You know, we're going to talk about California Fair Plan.
I don't know if you could do that in California. Just saying.
Well, now you just get to pay for insurance, and there is none.
All right, but, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if you get more than what you need.
But I digress.
The trend kind of goes, you pay for it, and then they cancel you 3 weeks before the plan does.
They don't want to cancel you. They want to milk you.
Yeah, they want you to go to the fair plan, then they can tell you that they don't have any money.
Those are the regular insurance guys that cancel you. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so they cancel you 3 weeks before the thing happens. So it's just weird how that happens.
Yeah, it's just a quinky. Yeah. Go ahead with your announcement, sis.
You need to do Crackmaster. Don't forget about Jeff Worth down there. He specializes in windshield repair. He's located at 3208 South Market Street here in Reading. If you want to give him a call, 530-241-8373. He's locally owned, and he's a veteran also. So there you go.
Do you know what's interesting is that I can't get into the KCNR chat room.
I'm in there.
I can't for some reason. I don't know what's
going
on.
But there's nobody in there.
This is the second week in a row. You know, that it tells me that that site can't be reached.
I have to go, I can't go through Brave.
Is that what it is?
I can't. Other people can, but I can't go through Brave.
Maybe I'll try whatever the other one is, Bing or something.
Try one of the.
Bing.
There's Bing. I think I go.
Bada Bing.
So anyway.
Can you turn my mic down a little bit?
I'll turn you all the way off.
Turn your mic down.
So will you figure that out? I do have
a little more.
A
little more, yeah.
We've got the Walk for Life that's going to be taking place in Red Bluff on January 25th. That's this upcoming weekend. And it's going to be at 9 a.m. meeting at the courthouse and then walking to LifeNet at 1008 Madison for refreshments. Then also there is another, obviously much larger one that is, going on down south. And to get there are some people that are going to the Sacramento one via bus. So, on March 31st, 2025, Red Bluff, they're going to be driving from a bus down to Sacramento for the March for Life there. And it will be departing at 9 a.m. and it is $45 per person for the bus ride. For more information, talk to Doug Weisner at 530-200-0272.
All right. I got a couple more. I know Mr. Wilkinson will probably call in, but we'll go ahead and we'll announce. He's selling raffle tickets for CVAC. He actually broke it down. Remember last week we weren't sure. We thought one ticket would enter you in all three drawings, but that's not the case. So the tickets are $10 each, but you can enter to win a dual-fuel portable generator. And the second drawing is a Glock 26 9mm semi-auto pistol. And then the third is a $339.99 gift certificate for R&R Meats. I actually have it all broke down. If you need to know more about those items, if you want to give me a call or give Dick a call to buy some tickets at 530-246-9222. 9131 or 530-524-2624. And those tickets are going for the CVAC. And then again, the guy that we talked about last week, speaking of insurance, because of the high cost of fire insurance, the Korean vet that had taken down his oak trees and pine trees has firewood for you. If you want to come get it for free, give John a call at 530-921-8650. Remember, it's all ready to go. He'll even help you load it. So he just needs to get it off his property.
There you go.
So if you want to help him. And then, of course, we have Mountaintop Media.
Yeah. We have a fundraiser coming up for Mountaintop Media. And go ahead. And
It's on February 15th. It's going to be at the VFW Hall in Anderson, located at 3210 West Center Street. Doors open at 4, dinner's at 6. I know what the menu's going to be. It's going to be a really good menu, so come out and join us. Tickets are $40 each, or a table of 8 is $300. And this is to support real journalism here in the North State.
Yeah. Unlike the mainstream meathead media corporate news that doesn't seem to report anything of value anymore, and if they do, it's very few and far between, and it's just getting old. I mean, I can't even watch it anymore.
I guess even the weather's going to be changing. I saw something from Mike Krueger this morning about that with the local stuff. But anyway, you know, if you can come support us on February 15th, we'd appreciate it. We're trying to expand our programs, Mountaintop Media is, to reach out in the community and maybe set up where we can bring in the younger generation and teach them what real journalism is.
And that's going to be the future because people are starting to gravitate towards internet media. You know, journalists that actually try to figure out what the truth is, not have an agenda that is not necessarily, I mean, any story I've been involved in ever, they didn't tell the truth about anything. They slant it. They try to frame it. They try to twist it. They do everything they can because they have an agenda. And the agenda is not the truth or protecting the American people, issues that they should know and understand.
Well, that's what journalism's supposed to be, is you just get the facts and report them, and no opinion or emotions or anything else are supposed to be part of that. So anyway, if you want to come, join us that night, or you can always donate items and donate money for the cause. You can get tickets. They're available at Jones Fort or Northern Roots, or you can call 530-638-4150. Hope to see you there.
It's interesting. It's like these journalists, they're more interested in their images than they are actually reporting. I can't remember the name of the one guy, David Muir. Is it Muir?
Muir.
Yeah,
right?
He's down there. He's got clothespins on the back of his emergency fire jacket so he doesn't look fat. I mean, are you kidding me?
That's the most important thing, whether you look fat or not.
They should have put some clothespins on his head and pulled his skin around to make him not, so he didn't look fat-headed. I mean, it's just insane. And we've seen example after example of these guys more worried about the image. And I've got a little clip on that Trump. It's like, it's like the guy standing in front of the fire during the riots.
What's going on here?
Mostly peaceful. You know, in the background, there's fires being lit, And then what's so weird is that people actually buy it. You got to be pretty freaking dumb to buy that, you know. Yeah, it's like Baghdad Bob when they're storming Baghdad. He's like, yeah, don't worry about those tanks. It's all part of a drill.
It's not really.
It's crazy when you start really breaking some of these down. There's one article here from WebFX, and what's interesting about it is there's six big companies that own almost all of the news media, but it's bigger than just that. It's the news media, it's the movies, it's all of the music, and it's all owned by six companies.
Which are all starting to tank in general.
Well, and they need to. It's the best bit of news that I ended up hearing all week was there was the Vanguard game that came out, and it was Dragon Age. Everybody was excited for it, except they started putting all kinds of woke preaching agenda crap into it and made it to where it tanked.
Go woke, go broke.
Literally, the whole place is... They've lost everything now. The whole place is going under. The game was a complete flop, and now the entire agency is gone. But the problem that I see out of this is that probably the key people that were the deciding factor behind causing those corporations to tank are probably going to be hired on to the next big corporation so they can rinse and repeat the same process over and over again.
Brought to you by Bud Light.
Yeah.
But it's not working anymore, their process. So I want to go back. I want to talk about, we got an article here from Mountaintop Media, Mountaintop Times on Substack. You can get that if you would like to subscribe. And this really hits home, especially up here in the North State, that there's going to be a $5,200 California homeowner surcharge to pay for the LA fires. Because the fire insurance loss is going to be estimated about $25 billion, according to anonymous reinsurance consultants. I'm not sure who that is, and I'm not sure if all of this is absolutely accurate because I haven't had time to check. But I think this is the road we're going down, and it's pretty basic that I have checked some of the numbers here on the FAIR plan, for example, and I've got that straight from insurance companies and agents that said that it's insolvent now. So now you add another $25 billion. It was insolvent before the fire. Now add another $25 billion from a spendthrift government that can't seem to spend your money fast enough on anything and everything that's green or puts money in the pockets of their friends and punishes their enemies. And there's no graft or corruption going on here.
Well,
because Slick Gavin, I got my new name for Gavin is Gaffin. After all these interviews he's done, Gaffin Newscom is. I mean, it's like unbelievable. I got a new one for AOC too. AOCD.
He needs to be in jail.
He does. I agree.
Yeah, he needs to be sent to Guantanamo. But anyway, in you know, reference to that too, did you see where now BlackRock is going around trying to buy up the properties down there in L.A.? Isn't that convenient? Didn't they do that over in Hawaii and all that?
Yeah,
imagine that.
I got a little bit of story, but let's finish this one, and then we'll get to that as well. So the new forecast means that the California FAIR Plan insurer of the last resort, which they've pushed everybody over into kicking and screaming because nobody wants to be on the FAIR Plan because it's any time that a government passes a plan or an act, it's like the Social Security Act. It should be the Social Insecurity Act. You know, the FAIR Plan. The not-so-FAIR Plan.
Well,
everything's just baloney.
They forget to tell people that there is no money. Yeah, you pay for it, but if you put a claim in, you're not going to get reimbursed.
If I hire an insurance company and I pay them to insure my property and they're insolvent and I have a claim and I file the claim and they say, sorry, we're broke, that's called fraud. And in the private sector, they actually can charge you with a crime that is, I believe, a felony. Because
probably not in the insurance world.
I don't know. So
I'm just saying.
So that's the truth. So you're just going to keep paying California FAIR Plan? It's just another cash cow for greasy gruesome down there they don't care if the money gets paid out to anybody else. They just want to spend illegal aliens. Yeah, let's give them a bunch of free health. Right now, they have opened the door to give free health care to everybody in the world. If you're in another country,
those people that are born.
Well, if you're in another country and you don't have health care, and you got to make it to California to get treated, how long do you think that's going to last? That's going to bankrupt the state in a week, if it hasn't been bankrupted already, because I kind of think we're about there already.
Well, look at the health care here just in the North State, how the lack thereof.
Well, it's he's pie in the sky idiots. Yeah, we want this workers of the world unite. We can have health care and communist utopia on Earth, except that what happens is everything goes to crap. Kind of like Southern California. And that's a microcosm. They say if the nation goes the way of California, whatever happens in California, yeah, whatever happens in California now should stay in California, because if the nation goes the way of California, we're going to be a burned out shell of a country.
Well, and let's think about this for a minute. The WEF, they had this whole big thing about how we need to rewild all of the different places in America. And then shortly thereafterwards, you had President Biden's executive order, 14008, tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad. But here's the interesting thing. This is from DOI.gov, so government website. It's called America the Beautiful, spotlighting the work to restore, connect, and conserve at least 30% of lands and waters by 2030 and 50% by 2050. It's amazing how, like, BlackRock seems to be helping out a lot in that.
Yeah, and everywhere.
All these different places seem to be doing that, because, I mean, you know, 50% of America, that's a pretty big area that you want to conserve.
That's for our own good.
Not to mention that that's in addition to the federal lands that are already owned.
We have a caller on the line. We've got Dick before we move on. Good morning, Dick.
Hey, good morning. Hey, thanks for mentioning the CVAC raffle. Also, I'd like to mention that it's going to take place. It's an awards banquet. It takes place at the Wind River Eagle Room, which is upstairs. Tickets are $35. It says by invitation only, but it says open to all branches of military and the general public. The reason why it's invitations only, there's three different dinners that you can select that comes with your. The tickets are $35, but they want to know how many are going to be attending and what dinners you want so they can prepare for it. So anybody can attend it. Just call Debbie Johnson, and she'll send you an invitation form. Her number is local 530-357-3380. And I'd like to mention in the raffle, the Glock 26, most Glocks 9mm are not suitable for concealed carry. But this is a reduced size one. It's more suitable for concealed carry, and so it's a 9mm, and I have tickets for that. I have tickets for all these items here. And again, my number is 530-246-9131. And I am not a member of CVAC, but this is not the first time I've been helping them with their raffle. But anyway, give me a call if you'd like to have tickets. I have lots of them. Anyway, I'm also helping another fundraiser. It's called Flags and Flowers. Most people know Preston Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been helping. His mother is having a fundraiser. And unfortunately, it's on the same day, March 8th, as CVAC's banquet there. But anyway, it's in Anderson VFW. Doors open at 4. One ticket is $50, or purchase a table or 8 for $450, and includes a $200 raffle ticket. And tickets can be obtained at the Flag Center on Hilltop, and their number is 530-515-3825. Or you can call me. I have tickets. Again, my number is 530-246-9131. Anyone, or you can make a donation if you can't attend it. A cash donations or checks would be great, and you can bring it to my house, and I'll make sure they get to the right place. Again, my number is 530-246-9131, and I appreciate you the time. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dick. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
All right,
okay, bye.
Bye.
Getting back to where we're at here. I want to play this first. We do want to celebrate. We got the inauguration day. There's been a lot of sweat and tears in the last 15 years to get us to the point where we're at right now. And I have a little section on election fraud and a few other things too that the election deniers are now unbelievable. So I do want to say that Intellectual Frog Legs just put out a new episode. I highly recommend it. You can go to Intellectual Frog Legs. That's Joe Dan Gorman. I'm going to see if we can try to get him on the show here in the next couple weeks, if possible. And but I wanted to play this.
I have his number.
I think I do. And so let's see what's going on. And but I want to play this little clip because I think what he says here is very on point about where we're at right now and how we got here. So this is Joe Dan, and this is a segment of Intellectual Frog Legs. Here we go.
This has been a 15-year revolution, and it ain't over. It's never over. But for now, we've regained the upper hand, and we've regained it with a massive, historic, against-all-odds victory. Congratulate yourselves. Well, you know who needs a special acknowledgement? Those of you who are part of the Tea Party. Those of you back in 2010 who started holding meetings in garages and parking lots and in city parks. 1,000% grassroots. No leadership at all. You were the first significant wave of the public to have the blinders fall off. You were the first to recognize that there was something bad wrong with this Obama guy and his Affordable Care Act. Yeah, healthcare that's so good, we're going to force you to buy it. And if you look at the metamorphosis, it's actually quite amazing. The Tea Party begat MAGA. MAGA begat the greatest political movement in history, which attracted the most innovative, the most creative, the most brilliant entrepreneurial minds on the planet. The geniuses of our time have aligned with MAGA. Yeah. So Trump has absolutely assembled a league of extraordinary gentlemen and ladies. Yes, ladies. Yeah, and even taken office. And we're already seeing the extraordinary power of the new media. The new media is in charge now. Elon's programming Grok, you know, that's the AI over on X, to analyze those 2,000-page bills in seconds. In seconds. And the technology's throwing sand in the gears of their criminal enterprise. Yeah, no more sneaking and hiding. The system, intended by our government officials to spy and manipulate us, is now being used by us to spy and manipulate them. And to quote Steve Bannon, suck on that.
All right, all right, all right.
Well, the next show, if you watch, has got Robert De Niro dressed up in a tutu doing some kind of dance to the gosh, the Foley's that French high kick dance. But I think what he said there was spot on. I think that's how we got here. It all started with the Tea Party, and the Tea Party has morphed into MAGA, and now it's gone pretty much worldwide. If you think about it, and so there's a lot to be said for how this grassroots movement got started, and I don't think they get enough credit. You know, we were called everything under the sun. Matt, you were
back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, we were AstroTurf, but see, back then when they had total control of the media, that's what we were up against.
Well, and that's the big thing. The thing I would end up pointing out too is that we need to be very, very cautious about when they say somebody is in charge or what they're trying to point out as far as the people, because the Tea Party movement was something that was very strong and it ended up scaring the crap out of these people.
Well, that's why they attacked it so hard. I mean, that's why the Bolo list, that's why they sued, you know, the Tea Party movement sued IRS because of the attacks and trying to stop them from getting any kind of a status or ability to fight back with money and donations and so forth. They tried to unwind it.
They tried everything, yeah. They didn't think it would move as much as it did, and how many people got behind that whole movement. It exploded quickly.
In the end, though, they'd ended up putting people into places to be able to co-opt the movement and be able to kind of make it fizzle to some extent.
Well,
so.
Well, of course they attacked it, and of course they it's not like the Tea Party expanded into what it should be. But the real deal is it morphed into something even more so, because it kind of went underground a little bit. It kind of went into attacking the problems and not necessarily high profiling themselves until things got control of. And of course, there were the plants, and now they start getting exposed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they don't control the media. Now they don't control the narrative, and that's what we're talking about. And that had to change in order for the movement to get some traction here back to freedom.
Well, this is why they're so scared and so terrified of the idea of there being any type of free social media, because as soon as people start having the ability to actually freely share their thoughts and freely share what's going on, quickly their plans start unveiling. But what we've been seeing previously is it any wonder that now Facebook is trying to say, oh, well, this is great, or that the people that ended up banning banning TikTok and wrote the bills originally, they were the same ones that the very day before ended up investing millions into Meta. That's interesting.
Well, it forced people, I shouldn't say force, it made people realize and open their eyes. Yeah, we don't have Tea Party groups, you know, air quotes, as much as we used to, but people got plugged in. They started looking and their eyes started getting opening to what was really going on, realizing that they had more power and they needed to bring it to the local level.
Well, that's exactly what I was just going to say, is what happened is they all started running for school boards.
They all started
running for boards of supervisors. They all started doing the hard work to get in there to start fixing the system the way the founders intended, which was in order to have self-governance, you got to be involved in governing. You got to get in there and you can't just let these idiots, that want to just, be corrupt and take your freedom and be on the dole and, you know, it's like the one guy the other day, Kevin O'Leary, he's on a panel, I think it was CNN, and he asked one question, and none of them were answered. They just rushed to change the subject, and the question, they were talking about the millionaires and the billionaires and all these guys that, you know, are co-opting, and, you know, Trump is, and Elon Musk, and they're bad, and then he asked one simple question, and I'll tell you what, talk about turning the light switch off. How did Joe Biden get rich? Does he have any companies? Does he have any services? Does he have any products? How did Joe Biden get rich?
He has family on companies like Burisma and uncles and
the guys that are all being paid by the Chinese that he had to preemptively pardon before the new people got in there. And now you got the guy.
The payoffs?
Yeah, we know there's 25 million coming from Chinese sources. He worked hard. He was that young kid from Scranton with a stutter and that's how he got where he is at, because he worked hard at, I don't know, being a 50-year politician that, like, stole from everybody and everything all the way along the line. I mean, there's clips of him. The guy's been a liar the whole time.
Well, and career politicians. I mean, it's like Sanders, too. The millionaires and the billionaires, except when he becomes a millionaire. The billionaires are the problem. And then when called on, maybe one day you, too, can write a book.
until I become a millionaire, billionaire, and then it's okay.
And a classic example is that, okay, we just got this in this morning, and the Red Cross confirms safe transfer of three Israeli hostages, which is a great thing. But they did a presser with Joe Biden, and he comes in, and this is the difference between a statesman and a politician. A statesman starts the parade, like, you know, making contact with the Israelis and making contact with the Arabs and making contact with Hamas and whoever they did. And they sent envoys over there, prior to, because there was nobody doing anything that actually is supposedly in power. They haven't done anything for 4 years. All of a sudden, you know, and they even said on one of the clips that, Trump's team got more done in one day than the Biden team got in 4 years. But what does Biden do? He gets up there and does a presser, and some journalist who actually cared about being a journalist, which was more shocking than anything, asked him, Hey Joe, did Trump have anything to do with this? And he turns and looks with that stupid grinny smirk and goes, are you kidding? Like, so the politician runs to the front of the parade. The statesman starts the parade, and the politician runs to the front and acts like he's the one that started the parade.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Well, yeah.
I guess we got to go to a break.
I guess. Okay. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Get anywhere. Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. It's a new year, and we are very excited about the new leadership for our nation. Jones's Fort is offering Hornady 5.56 NATO 75 grain tap precision ammunition on sale now for just $199 a case. That's right, $199 a case. This ammo delivers phenomenal performance for your AR-15 style rifle. Jones's Fort, serving all your firearm needs since 1962. And yes, Jones's Fort will pay for your ammo background check.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Sovereign Minds. Yeah, you guys are the best. You're the best around. There's no question about it. Talk about all you old Tea Partiers. You know, you've earned a lot of this, that's for sure. Okay, so I want to get back on the story a little bit because New York Post reports Hamas operatives were seen circling and escorting a Red Cross convoy deep inside of Gaza set to receive the 3 hostages expected to be released Sunday morning. Like with hostages exchanges back in November 2023, Hamas fighters and Palestinians could be seen on online footage cheering and parading around the vehicles to carry the hostages out of the Gaza Strip. On Wednesday, President Trump announced that a deal was reached for the release of the Jewish hostages in the Middle East. He posted this on Truth Social. "We have a deal for the hostages in the Middle East. They will be released shortly. Thank you," Trump wrote. Now, again, we're back to the statesman and the politician. The guy that actually initiates it, the politician tries to take credit for. Joe Biden is an absolute terrible slime ball, corrupt piece of garbage. And if you can't see that, then you're an idiot, because it's not that hard to see. He's so transparently corrupt and dementia-ridden, and all of his handlers that are around him, it's just obvious. It's so obvious. Well, it's ridiculous.
Well, there's no hope for you if you haven't got your eyes opened in the last 4 years about Joe Biden. I mean, hello. Just saying.
Yeah. So I do want to go back a little bit here and talk and finish this thought on Gavin Newsom.
Oh.
And I want to play a clip here. This is about a minute or so. And this is talking about the fires again. And this guy, California fires, and the headline is Gavin Newsom.
He's evil.
Gavin,
he's evil.
Gavin Newsom. Is giddy and laughs about the speculators and the land grabs that, like we talked about earlier with BlackRock getting involved. It appears that Gavin Newsom to be laughing throughout an interview, and he's doing this little dance. Yeah, everybody's seen his little shoulder dance.
What the side to side thing?
What is up with that?
As he grins,
what is he
talking about the people down there and the fire and the destruction?
Trying out for the Richard Simmons team or something? I mean, I it's like what? So
he's just evil. He's sick.
So he's—I don't know—he's just screwed up in the head. He said about the areas devastated by the recent fires. We're working on it, though through old strategies that they did up in Paradise. They are more contemporary strategies of focusing on one-stop shopping. Making sure that we have an expedited approval process to make sure that we're dealing with a myriad of issues. Now, you talk about a mouthful of stupid
words,
platitudes, words. Yeah, be careful.
Bull.
Bullpucky.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything. And that's what these guys do. These politicians are experts at talking for an hour, and you go, what did he even say? No concrete policy, no absolute changes. He didn't give us any specifics. And it's like, who is this? Who is this man?
No. He also didn't put a stop to BlackRock trying to come in and buy these people's property.
Well, we're kind of getting there, okay? So he said, expedited approval said, Newsom talking. I was just talking to Josh Green. Of course, the name dropper, the governor of down in Hawaii, who had some ideas about some land concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up the properties and the like. So we're already working with our legal team to move those things forward. What's that mean? So you're moving with them so that people can come in and offer 10 cents on the dollar because their houses were paid for. The insurance is not going to give them anything. And so they can buy this stuff up, sweep it up for, you know, pennies on the dollar. And they're getting their legal team ready for that? Is that?
Yeah, like the people down there haven't been through enough, haven't been traumatized enough. So then you're letting BlackRock come in and rape the people.
Well,
on top of what they've been through, really? And then you're going to smile about it and dance?
Yeah. So they were presenting those matters in just a few weeks. People are concerned that homeowners will be forced financially to sell their land, and that Newsom will change zoning laws from single home residentials to large multifamily
stack
facilities. Newsom also blamed the fires on a new reality. Yeah, that's...
What new reality?
The new reality that we are corrupt and we should have been putting together resources to have more water down south.
That it was our fault?
And did you know that that if you tried to clear the brush around your property down there, you would get fined? Because it was detrimental to the environment, to native species, species of plant. So that if you went out there and said, hey, I need to make a break for the fires, or you know, just clear the land off so I have less fire hazards.
Isn't that part of the thing with fire insurance? You're supposed to have a defensible space around your property.
Well, see, I heard it was the exact opposite of that. It's so that they can contain the fire in your house from spreading to other people.
Oh, well, that's probably the truth of it down there.
No, it is. That is what I've heard directly from the horse's mouth. So Newsom also blamed the fires on the new reality of deviation from normalcy with regard to climate. It's not any of these corrupt officials' fault. It's climate change. It's the weather. The weather has caused all the problems in California, the mismanagement, the corruption, the spending of our dollars.
Except there was no drought this year. They had more water down in L.A., but the reservoir was empty.
Well, it was
empty.
They're running it all out to the ocean. Of course, yeah. It's the climate change.
It was climate change that caused that to happen.
Because the Delta smelt needed water that They can't even find the fish. It needs all that water, millions and millions of gallons.
Yeah.
And you know, no commitment to, you know, that's why he's taking so much heat is because there's been several clips that show, Trump and a few other things saying, hey, you need to fix this. And he's like, no, we'll sue you instead. So.
No, he was too busy trying to put the high speed rail in down there that to nowhere.
Well, not to mention, if you give a bunch of money away to illegal aliens and open up the border in a sanctuary state so that, you're funding, healthcare for everybody in the world, that doesn't have nothing to do with it. So, he promised 100. Oh, and when Gavin promises something.
Well, it depends on who he promises it to and what it is.
He can take your money to the bank.
Of course.
Well, yeah, he takes our money to the bank all the time.
He promised 100% commitment and reimbursement for folks. Although California is already more than $60 billion, that's with a B, in debt, and they can't print money like the Fed, so then now they're going to go begging to the Fed. And if they give these guys a carte blanche another check, I'm going to roll over. Because the real deal is that if they gave it directly to the people to use or help them, that's one thing. But to give it to these frickin' corrupt politicians is absolute insanity because they'll just do the exact same thing. They do not know how to be honest. They do not know
they
how to
care.
Budget money. All you got to do, Kamala, look at her campaign. She couldn't even pay her staff at the end, and she spent $2 billion, and they have no accountability for where the money went. And they're probably all, and then they, hey, how did Joe Biden get wealthy?
Well,
not saying that money went to Joe Biden, but I'm saying that's how they all get wealthy. They're a bunch of freaking criminals. Anyway,
yep, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Jimmy. Good morning, Jimmy.
Oh, my gosh. Good morning, folks. Hey, what you were saying, Mark, about these entities coming in and buying all this property for pennies on the dollar, this whole thing reminds me of the housing bubble back when the federal government had to bail out the banks and the people all lost their homes, but the banks got to keep the properties.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what's happening over again. Bigger magnitude in a way.
Yeah.
Right. So, and the same thing apparently happened in Hawaii with the fires over there.
Yeah.
Sort of, kind of.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. But I thought over in Hawaii, at least the guy put a stop to them being able to come in and swoop up the property. Newsom's not trying to stop them at all for BlackRock.
He's trying to facilitate it.
Yeah. You know, it's like really, and you really care about the people, right?
Right. It just seems reminiscent of what happened with the housing bubble. Because I was really perturbed by that when the big entity that had all the property, the bank bailouts.
Oh, yeah.
So it had Countrywide was one.
Well, there's a bunch of different ones that all went under, for sure. But they bailed them out because that what they've done is they've socialized
it's a land grab.
Well, what I'm saying is they socialize the hazards of doing business in the banking industry. In other words, if me and you are in business together and we go bankrupt through mismanagement, there's nobody to bail us out. It's not socialized. We take the hit because we're the ones that are responsible. What they've done is they socialize the banking industry so when the banks go under through mismanagement and bad loans and whatever, then everybody pays for it. The government comes in, steps in, and socializes their losses.
Right, exactly. That is what I'm going to bring up right now. So the California Fair Fire Insurance Plan,
same thing.
So we are so in debt. How is the Fair Plan going to pay all these billions of dollars? No, they can't. They're going to have to get a bailout from the feds.
Well, we know, we've heard it, or I have, from actual insurance agents that say that they have told them there's no money.
I think Gavin's going to get a job at McDonald's, I hope.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
He should get a job.
I think he should go out in the ocean and look for the smelt.
Maybe a garbage truck will do it.
He should get a job at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah. At the train station.
Clean his toilets.
Chief floor polisher.
He needs to go to the train station.
My main thing is when I called is this California Fair Act plan. they've capped the amount of money that insurance companies can charge us for homeowners insurance, right? And it's just a takeover, and they're going to get bailed out by the feds. And this is just it's
we'll
a mess.
See, because I'm not sure that they will at this point. We're going to have to see how this plays out, because there is a new sheriff in town starting tomorrow, and so I don't know. I mean, I don't trust any politicians at all. I don't even trust Trump completely at all. But so we have to wait and see how this goes and see what's happening here and how many issues. But, I mean, at least we're going in the right direction, I hope, now.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing I'd like to bring up real quick is that, you know, everybody's pointing the fingers at these, you know, politicians in California, you know, all the people down in L.A., Gavin Newsom, et cetera.
Yes.
Well, a lot of the citizens down there, they were not prepared either.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. It's like a lot of good conservatives got swept up in that, you know, like Mel Gibson lost his home the other day, and what he had to say about Newsom, and he needs more hair
right.
gel and all that stuff. But you've got Pelosi in California. You've got Kamala lives down there.
There's a lot down
you've,
there.
You've got
I'm talking about your typical, you know, liberal Democrat, even central Democrat, you know, they were not prepared for a emergency like we are up here.
I agree.
I mean, you know, they didn't. I have relatives down there. They didn't have any stocked up food. They didn't have any stocked up water. It's a last minute rush when an emergency happens, and when they go to the store, everything's off the shelves.
Do you know why? Do you know what the big? Do you know what the big reason is that they're not prepared, Jimmy? Is because they think the government is there to keep them safe and will do its job.
They depend
on the government to take care of them. Where that's not what the Constitution was about at all. The government was just supposed to protect your rights. It was not supposed to keep you safe. You were supposed to do that yourself. That's what self-governance is about. Self-reliance. And what they've done is. Now they're going to be the first ones that are going to be crying and moaning, because that's how this always ends up, is that the more you depend on the government, the more you become slave to it. And whatever the government giveth, the government has the power to taketh away.
But they always thought that it would never happen to them. If you remember back a few years ago, we're the ones that got the fire tax, because only fires happen in Northern California. They don't happen in Southern California, if you remember that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. You know, it's just like crime or anything else, you know. They think
right.
that it's never going to touch me. I'm untouchable.
Well, looting.
And now the looting, going to the Second Amendment, there's big issues. They don't want to wait 10 days to be able to have a weapon.
Right.
See, looting's only a problem now because they're looting their homes.
Right.
Yeah, because they're being touched.
Let me give you another example of unpreparedness. One of my relatives was down in L.A. They had their power cut off, because they shut out the power for 4 million people due to, you know, fire, wind risk or whatever. So my relative called or texted me and said, "Hey, man, I need to go get a generator, but they're all sold out." Duh. So another week goes by, and he texts me and says, "Should I get a gas-operated generator or a battery-operated generator?"
Wow.
Say, listen.
Dude, are you so green that you don't know that when your battery runs out on your generator, you can't recharge your battery?
No, it's...
Hello?
No, there,
wow.
Why?
You just got to take it out and put a solar panel on it.
But I'm glad you brought up the electricity, because we do have to make something clear. Last week we talked about PG&E being down there, and it's not PG&E.
I think it's Con Edison.
It's Edison, but just FYI.
You're big on the
Con.
Oh,
okay.
So we do have another caller in about a minute left.
All right, folks.
All right, thanks. Got anything else?
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. I guess let's go to our other caller.
We have Vincent on the line. Good morning, Vincent.
Good morning. I lived right by that... Eaton Canyon Reservoir area. We lived about a quarter of a mile from it, 1958 to 1962. And there's 10, 15 acres there of floodplain. Most of the time it's dry with weeds. When it's wet, the reservoir is about 15 feet high, and then it
Vincent,
flows into...
Vincent, yeah. we got about 20 seconds, and they're going to cut us off.
You can hold on until after the...
So you probably want to hold on until after the hour,
okay.
Because they're going to cut us off here in about 15 seconds. So
we don't have any control over it. They're going to cut us off.
All right, so
we're
stay on the line, and we'll be right back with you.
Yep, and so we will catch everybody on the other side in about 5 minutes.
We won, you mad, it's done, too bad, ooh, so sad. We won, you mad, you cry, we laugh, we wait.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Among the thousands of prominent figures attending tomorrow's inauguration is the Reverend William F. Kamuyi, founder of Nigeria's Deeper Life Bible Church, the third largest Christian church in the world. On the eve of the inauguration, the global evangelist offered this prayer for the incoming president.
Almighty God, please choose to bring President-elect Donald Trump to the throne in biblical language and to lead at this time. We're asking that your grace will be with him, your wisdom and your power, and we pray you help him to remain focused. And all the things he's brought out in his campaign of giving Christ the recognition, the honor that he deserves.
Donald Trump takes the oath of office as our 47th president at 12 noon on Monday. TikTok says it's in the process of restoring service to users in the U.S. after the popular video sharing platform went dark last night in response to a new law. President Trump says he'll issue an executive order tomorrow to give TikTok more time to get things worked out. After last week's solid performance, this week ushers in a new era for the stock market as President Trump begins his second term.
Traders go back to work Tuesday after the market racked up gains ahead of President Trump's return. The S&P 500 index advanced 1%. The Dow gained just over 0.75%. The Nasdaq rose 1.5%. Those gains propelled all three indexes into positive territory for the month, according to FactSet. And it was the most robust weekly performance for the Dow and the S&P since the immediate aftermath of Donald Trump's November election win. Rich Thomason reporting.
Three hostages released by terrorists in Gaza, now in Israel as the first test of a fragile ceasefire with Hamas, which began this morning. Israel will release many Palestinian prisoners today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sleep Financial Group is not a law firm. Sleep Financial Group is not a law firm.
If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results has made Wesley a trusted resource for over 40,000 families we've helped get out of their timeshare. Give us a call and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about your timeshare and all of your options for cancellation.
Call for your free info kit. 800-885-3333. That's 800-885-3333. 800-885-3333.
At least 70 people have been killed in north-central Nigeria after a gasoline tanker exploded. The blast erupted in the early hours of Saturday near the Suleya area of Niger State after individuals attempted to transfer gas from one tanker into another truck using a generator. The fuel transfer sparked the explosion, resulting in the deaths of those transferring the gas and a number of bystanders, according to authorities. Kenya's Interior Ministry says the East African nation has deployed 217 more police officers to Haiti as part of a Kenya-led multinational force to curb gang violence. The minister says in a statement that the officers left Kenya on Friday. The nation first sent troops to the Caribbean in June, and the total deployment now exceeds 600. Kenya's President William Ruto has pledged to deploy 1,000 troops as part of a UN-backed force. News and analysis at townhall.com. New drugs have been selected for Medicare's price negotiations.
The Biden administration says popular weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy have been added to Medicare's list of medications that will be negotiated directly between the government and drug manufacturers. The price negotiations for the additional 15 drugs will be handled by the incoming Trump administration and almost assures billions of dollars in savings for taxpayers. Ozempic and Wegovy are made by Novo Nordisk, which is based in Denmark and has U.S. headquarters in Plainboro, New Jersey. Hiya Pinjwani, Washington.
Today is Sunday, January the 19th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actress Tippi Hedren, 95 years old today. Country music star Dolly Parton is 79. TV chef Paula Deen has 78 candles on her birthday cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Another 4 years, that's a wrap. I can take a bath in your tears. That's a fact, you got lipstick all on your beard. You're a man, that is cap, 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 cap. You pretending you're accepting, that's an act. You hear pat, 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 pat. If you want our freedom, come and take it back. Bet you can't. We want it, you mad, it's done, too bad. Ooh, so sad. We want it, you mad, you cry. We laugh, we wave, the flag.
They turn and cancel me and say that I'm a racist. Got a mean hook, they can't get me with that jazz. Trying to take away my rights and go and say this. Well, is it up? Cause this gun is going bad. With the facts, 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 facts. Why they trying to turn Becky into Dan? Screw Eminem, I'm Roseanne.
Sovereign. Her outfit.
Yeah. Sovereign Minds. We had to play that because that's the first rap song I've ever heard from Roseanne Barr.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, her outfit, something
Becky
else.
Becky into Dan. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's get back to our caller, and then we'll go to the town hall after that.
Okay. Are you still there, Vincent?
Yes, uh-huh.
All right, go ahead.
So, the latest thing about that fire is lawyers, of course, have come in and they blamed Southern California Edison for not taking care of the transportation line. You know, the heavy lines that are 75 feet up on forearms, like around here, that go through the Cascades and so on. Correct. Well, there's just flat. And it goes across Sierra Madre Boulevard. So if there was any play in the line, it was real low across that street. There was no tower that overturned, or there was no line that gave way. It was started by homeless people. I was there as recent as 4 years ago, and on 10 acres, 3 miles or less than 3 miles from Colorado Boulevard, which is the main commercial street there. You can imagine how many homeless you could fit in there.
Right.
You know, tents and blue tarps and everything. And they started it.
Well, they got several guys that were walking around with, or at least one that was with a blowtorch, and another guy they caught setting them. You know.
Yeah,
I mean,
one was the illegal alien, and that just kind of skipped over,
you know,
that.
And you know something? If someone really wanted that to happen, it wouldn't be that hard to pay a few of these guys a couple of dollars to go out and start some fires.
You remember those Santa Ana winds?
Yep.
Right there in the foothills. I was waiting for the school bus in 1960 in the same time of year. And, you know, the wind knocked me over as a 6-year-old kid.
Yep.
And that was 1960. And, you know, the homeless started the fire in 50-mile-an-hour gusty winds, and it was about 42 degrees. So just put two and two together. They started it. You know, it wasn't Southern California Edison not maintaining a line that went right across a main boulevard. That's like you have a low line going across Churn Creek.
Here. Well, the other thing too, that's just
obvious.
The other thing too, Vincent, that's a little suspicious and on how it got started as well, is that it started in several places simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there was 4 years ago, there was at least 20 people down there.
Right.
I had to walk to the edge of the at New York Drive. And I looked down because it's in a depression. And they were just all over the place.
Right.
With tents, regular tents, with blue tarps, brown tarps, just use logic. They started a warming fire in 50-mile-an-hour winds. Sometimes they said it gusted up to 65. And I know those winds right there were strong because there was really nothing north of us but more foothills.
Well,
and they were just blasting through.
Well, thanks for the call, Vincent, and we appreciate your insight.
Yeah.
And and we'll let everybody think about it and make up their own minds. Thanks for the call. All right, have a good day.
Vincent.
All right, so we want to go to Town Hall, and let's play this, and then we'll come back.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local updates. In early January 2025, a disturbing incident at the Shasta Factory outlets led to a significant law enforcement response. On January 6th, the Anderson Police Department received reports of unauthorized photography of a juvenile female at the shopping center. Following an investigation involving tips and evidence collection, police arrested Jose Ortiz Jr., 40, of San Jose on January 12th. The arrest was executed through a joint operation between Anderson Police and the Shasta County Sheriff's Office at a residence on Bay Street in Anderson. Evidence collected during the arrest will be analyzed by the Redding Police Department's High-Tech Crimes Unit. Ortiz faces initial charges of unauthorized recording/photography of a person in a state of undress or during a sexual act, and child molestation/annoyance of a minor under 18. The investigation continues, with potential additional charges pending evidence analysis and further search warrants. While law enforcement addressed this serious criminal matter, political tensions were brewing in nearby Shasta Lake. A legal dispute has emerged following the recent city election. Former council candidate Dolores Lucero filed a lawsuit on December 16, 2024, against former Mayor Janice Powell and newly elected council member Tony Coates. The suit alleges Powell violated conflict of interest laws by approving a $10,000 grant to the Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce while receiving $1,300 monthly from the organization. Adding to the controversy, the chamber has recently requested an additional stipend to cover operational expenses, raising new questions about financial oversight and the organization's relationship with former Mayor Powell. Additionally, the lawsuit challenges Coates' eligibility under the one-year ban act as she ran for office within 9 months of retiring as city clerk. Lucero, who narrowly lost to Coates in the November election, filed a subsequent motion on January 9, 2025, seeking to disqualify City Attorney John Kenny from representing the defendants, citing potential conflicts of interest. The case, 24CV-206642, awaits initial hearings in Shasta County Superior Court. Despite the political controversy, Shasta Lake continues to move forward with community development projects. Construction has begun on a new skate park following a groundbreaking ceremony on Hardenbrook Avenue. The project is primarily funded through a $1.6 million portion of American Recovery Act funds, with additional state funding allocated for restroom facilities and a pavilion. Specialty contractor Spawn Ranch designed the park after gathering input from community members, particularly local youth, during public outreach sessions. City Manager Jessica Lugo emphasized the importance of incorporating children's suggestions into the facility's design. The skate park is part of a broader $2.4 million park enhancement initiative funded by the American Recovery Act. Weather permitting, the project is scheduled for completion by summer 2025. While the city focuses on providing recreational facilities for its youth, one local student athlete is making headlines in the sports world. Foothill High School offensive lineman Gabe Miller has been selected to represent the West team in the Blue-Gray All-American Bowl at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. The 6'5", 290-pound player learned of his selection at an Oregon State camp. Miller, who began playing football in high school, has earned All-SAC River Eastern League and Northern Section CIF honors twice. He holds an offer from Jamestown University in North Dakota and aims to play Division I football. Former NFL player Soma Wailuku has served as his trainer. Miller views the All-American Bowl as an opportunity to gain more college attention. If professional football doesn't materialize, he plans to consider following his family tradition in law enforcement as a fourth-generation police officer. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
All right, there we have it. So,
but before we move on, I just was looking, but we were talking about insurance and all that down there.
Right.
So this person posted that their house was worth $4.5 million. The insurance came back with $800,000.
That's not pennies on the dollar. It's kind of like 5 cents.
That's like
five cents on the dollar.
Anyhow, I had to put that out there. It's like, wow, okay. Nothing going on there. So anyhow.
So did you have something there, Dave, that you wanted to go over?
Yeah. So there is apparently TikTok is back up due to an executive order from Donald Trump saying that he is going to day one end up not enforcing it and going to be overturning it. And there was I think it was pretty insightful. There was a comment here from Steve Dace that I felt like I'd kind of want to share because in the past I've been against social media, especially for the younger people. And I don't think that's changed at this point. I think there needs to be, and it needs to come from the parents. It doesn't need to come from the government. But this comment right here I think is pretty insightful. So he says, do I think TikTok was originally intended to be a direct portal for Chinese propaganda to infiltrate our culture via the peer pressure of its algorithm has probably incited more gender mutilations than any other platform since our youth get more life advice on it than any other church or their families? Yes. Do I think a bunch of other big tech robber barons who simp for China don't mind being its indirect portal also pimp gender mutilation propaganda and their algorithm likely even prefer China's corporatist communist ideology to our constitution and we're just out to get rid of their biggest competitor? Yes.
Well, how do you control it as the parent is the biggest problem because you can't eliminate them from having access to it completely because it's too easy to get to it.
Sure you can.
Can't you do like a parent control thing or whatever? Block it?
Well, screw that. Buy them a drug dealer phone. Get them one of those phones that it's dumb phone. That's what they have to be able to communicate and the rest of it. You look at these schools that are having these problems. These schools are jungles, man. You see these kids that are fighting inside the lobbies, and it's recorded by everybody around like it's a world star televised
event. Yeah, I'm not sure
event.
That solves the problem, though, because that's the problem we have is that you can't monitor the kids 24/7, and you can't completely eliminate the technology because they have to learn the technology in the world that's here. You can't get anywhere without knowing some of this stuff. So it is a problem for the parents to be able to control all of the content that they're seeing.
But there's no reason why you should have an 8-year-old that has an iPhone 14.
Well, I'm not saying an 8-year-old. I'm saying, even 11. We got 11-year-old and a 15-year-old. You can't eliminate it.
Well, I don't know. I would take their phone and look at it and then start deleting, and if you keep doing it, they take your phone away. I don't know.
Well, and I would say take it away. I mean, there's elements of it to where until your child is at a place to where they're comfortable being who they are and you know that they know who they are.
Well, again, I'm saying that it's hard to completely eliminate it. You could curtail it. You can do a lot of things. But it's tough out there because the technology is pervasive everywhere. You know, you can go on Facebook and you're seeing TikTok stuff. So,
well, I find it interesting that all of these tech oligarchs and all the CEOs of these big companies, they don't let their kids have it at all. They limit it. They basically say, nope, it's not going to happen. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. I think once you get to the point to where you see that they're not influenced by behavior and they're already saying the things when they come across it and see it, they're like, oh, that's pretty stupid.
Can't you put controls on the phone?
No.
You can to some extent, but a lot of people don't know how.
These kids, not only that, these kids are smart. They know how to get around all this stuff. I mean, it doesn't take them that long. It's like when they go to school, if the one guy kid hasn't figured it out, another one has and shows them how to figure it out.
That's probably true.
So it's tough. Is all I'm saying is it's tough to completely eliminate it. Let's go to work. We do have a caller.
Dolores, good morning.
Good morning, Dolores.
Good morning, Linda. Good morning. I just want to guys a little bit more information about Shasta Lake. As you know, this has been going on for years, and the time that John Kenny, the attorney for the city of Shasta Lake, is actually represented Janice Powell and Tony, and that's actually them to have done that. Public officials, they were public officials all, and I was not suing the city. And for him to engage and, you know, just send them and submit documents and rebuttal, and then now Kate Colby on Tuesday meeting, she's going to the meeting to request for $5,000, and guess what $5,000 is going to go to? To Jim Kenny, the attorney, the city attorney. So even though he's a city attorney, he's asked two people to pay separately from the city. So what do you think that's called? Well, kickback. That's a activity. And I can't believe how far even this thinking of city attorney go. And federal. I've been fighting it since day one, for since I was involved, and it still.
Well, you're kind of breaking up a little bit, Dolores, and it's kind of hard to understand everything you're saying exactly. But I'll say this: your targets don't seem to have a.
well, it's not right that
on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, it's not right that he's trying to get people to pay the city.
I get it. I mean, I'm not trying to disparage
you
either.
Know.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but this has been going on, and, you know, and I'm fighting a battle for everybody. It's not just for me. It's not about me. This is about what they're doing to the people, taking advantage of the people's money and thinking that it's okay. Let's just give Mr. John Kenny a kickback to represent Tony Coates and Janice Howe in the side besides him being the city attorney. That's a prohibited law for
I would think I would think that that would be a conflict of interest for
definitely
for even just for attorney for you know attorney conduct. I mean,
definitely.
So I don't know. I'm not an attorney, so I couldn't say for sure, but it sounds like it to me, having done a little bit of attorney training.
Yeah, so, you know, but I'm just, you know, I feel like, you know, it's the more I keep on pushing, the more they're coming to me to basically give me everything in the silver platter, because everything they provide and what they do, it's even now I want to use it against them because what they've done, which is a state bar. Mr. John Kenny is going to eventually lose his license because they opened a criminal investigation against him already.
Well, stay tuned, Dolores. We got to go.
Right.
We got a bunch of other stuff to cover.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Dolores. We appreciate it.
All right. So I do want to talk about this inauguration a little bit. Just because, let's see, this comes from Steve, on X. And he has his own podcast and so forth. It's Steve's Loves Ammo, which is kind of interesting.
I bet he loves guns, too.
I bet he does, too. I kind of like guns myself. But the inauguration was, so he says, let me get this straight. And I got to kind of agree with this a little bit, because without having any real facts, because how do you get any good information on something like this? Because it's just not going to come into the surface till later on. But first, the inauguration is moved from outdoors into the Congressional Rotunda.
Well, we do know that that's been reported from several sources.
Sure, absolutely.
To happen.
But then the location of the so now it's being reported that the location of the inauguration has been moved. And now we've also got another report, I guess, that says Trump's motorcade now has anti-drone technology.
On the top of the...
And then we got another one that says that the Inauguration Day parade has been canceled. Now, the point of this is, if you believe that there's not a credible threat to Trump and his supporters, maybe you're asleep, because it seems to me like, you know, something's up here. It's kind of weird.
Well, does it surprise you? I mean, you know that there's going to be threats against him.
No, I'm not shocked at all.
You know, that's just a given because of who he is.
Well, and we're already at a place to where just because one side won the election, which I would say would be our side in this case, doesn't mean the threat of a civil war stops. In fact, I'd say right now we're tantamount to probably the most historic time for a likely civil war out of any time.
Well, we've been seeing it in the past week or so, like Joy Reid, they cheated. Wait, what? So now they're the election deniers. And this is the problem. is you've got to clean these things up, period. You got to get it so that you can trust the elections no matter who won. That's been the whole point. It's not been whether we win or lose. It's been quit putting rules into place that make it easier to cheat for whoever.
But again, who's the one that is trying to incite violence or uproar or anything else? Again, which side is it? Well, it's not the right side.
We did a report on the J6 last week. We know that there was assets. You're going to see all this come out. You know, you get Cash Patel in there. They had assets in the crowd. They bust people in. The FBI was involved.
Yeah, but that's my whole point. Even now with Trump going into office, don't tell me that they're just sitting by quietly and they're not.
Oh, they're not. There's a big, you know, there's a big, exactly. There's a big bunch of, there's a big, I don't know, you said it during the break.
Occupy Democrats that they're, you know.
Well, then they were, it was a women's rights parade or something.
Oh, that was Dave, and they changed it to the people's.
Yeah, because they don't know what a woman
march,
is.
Yeah. Women's march.
It can't be a women's march because there's no definition of a woman. So I guess it's the LPGDQXYZ to the fourth power times two.
Yeah, Occupy Democrats are urging people on their side to dress in black because of day of mourning because of Trump going into office.
I wonder if they're going to put masks on and carry ISIS flags too.
And one more thing too that I think is really important that we think about 1 second here. So it's been, I think, going on almost 6 months now since the Trump shooter had taken his first shot at him. And we also, we haven't heard anything more about it, but apparently it looked like his house was professionally cleaned. It had no silverware.
His social media was scrubbed.
He had apparently ties to Iran. It looked like that was
going
to be the way they were blaming it.
He was going down to the, I believe it's the FBI or the DHS gun range and practicing there.
Uh-huh, and also meeting with FBI people and also in a Discord with FBI people, but that's just the information that we uncovered in, like, what, the first week? And now it's been 6 months and we don't have any further details. Nobody's come to justice about any of the people that might have ended up aided or abetted this dude to this attempt. Kind of seems like they don't want to find out.
Well, there's nothing going on. What's the matter with you guys? Nothing's happening.
We know that. What, they've got a criminal in the organization. I'm going to play a minute clip here. This is on Gavin Newsom. This is on the fires real quick, and then we'll move on. I didn't get this in, so let's hear what this has to say. This is a program. I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head.
I don't know where that came from.
PK whatever.
There's several people.
Where Newsom is talking about calling Josh Green, the Maui fires, okay, they exposed the same stuff that's happening right now, government failure, delayed response, ignored warnings, and all these priorities. He says something about reimagining California where he calls the Maui guy, and this is what bothers me, Tom. Those people that you're talking about now that have nothing, okay, that the house was worth, let's say, $10 million in regard to insurance. Now somebody comes and wants to buy up the land, Tom. They can offer them way less and say, listen, everything's gone. You didn't have the right insurance. We're going to give you this much money cash, Tom. Go about your business. Am I right?
People that had their house paid off.
Yes.
That, for some of them that don't have the resources and were underinsured, that is their only choice.
Jeez.
To sell the land to tomorrow's developer and go somewhere.
So when he says this, Pat, isn't this a worrisome thing where he says he called him and you mind if we, like, look at his face?
I want to stay. Is this about insurance?
It's about the land, grabbing the land.
Oh, okay. Play this clip, Rob.
We're dealing with a myriad of issues. I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor, down in Hawaii, who had some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up properties, and the like. So we're already working with our legal teams to move those things forward, and we'll be presenting those in a matter of days, not just weeks.
So I wanted to play that. It verifies what we talked about earlier, and we kind of missed that. That's just straight from the horse's mouth, and that's PBD, Patrick's something, David.
But Newsom is, you know, smiling and kind of dancing, you know. It's like, what an evil, sick individual.
So we have a couple more stories to cover. We got the one on James O'Keefe about the mole, talking about how this is from Jamie Manina, senior advisor, joint chiefs of staff, Department of Defense, former special agent FBI, special assistant to Hillary Clinton. And so they did an undercover sting operation on this guy. I think they call it honeypotting. Evidently the O'Keefe, undercover agent is probably some hot chick. And, so these guys seem to open up to them,
or some hot guy.
Well, that could be too. He's just a hottie, no matter how you slice the pie.
Wow. Well, whoa.
Stop it.
Whoa.
Get some help. Okay, here we go. Let's listen what is going on here. So he's talking a lot of smack about what's going on.
I work at this top consulting firm, and my client is the Pentagon. So I'm embedded in the Pentagon. I work in the joint staff, which is the top military command. Once you lost, I went into the intelligence community and I became an FBI special agent. So I became a spy hunter. So I was a counterintelligence agent, special agent at the FBI.
What's your like overall assessment of Trump?
He's a sociopathic narcissist who is only interested in advancing his name, his wealth, and his fame.
Is there anything you can do to like protect American people from stuff that he might try to do?
I'm in conversation with a couple of retired generals to try to explore what we can do.
Who were the retired generals that you were going to talk to?
They're like 1, 2, or 3 star generals and admirals. You probably know maybe 4 stars. So I also have a big day tomorrow, probably the biggest day of all. So we have this huge, huge meeting with military leaders in a very secure room called the Tank.
Ooh.
So we have a tank meeting with like all of the top leaders in the United States military tomorrow on my topic that I prepared.
So it went well.
I think it went well. It's very sensitive information. We're gonna have to keep it between us. Nice. Specialize in artificial intelligence and emerging technologies like quantum, cybersecurity.
Yeah. What's quantum? I haven't heard of it.
Quantum is incredibly fast supercomputing that doesn't yet exist but will soon exist. And when it does, it will change everything.
Hegseth. Who's that?
Secretary of Defense. He's cheated on all of his wives, all of his girlfriends. He's had some sexual assault allegations. He's an alcoholic. There's a lot of observations of him drinking.
You're not a spy. You're not trying to like collect information from me.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Cool.
Well, with me, literally with a former FBI agent, so you're gonna be safe.
Now, as he says that, James O'Keefe turns from another part of the crowd and pulls his glasses down and walks away in front of the camera so you can see him. So there's a lot more to come on this. And some of our fears of, you know, using this quantum technology and submarining Trump on purpose, I think he's got to go in and fire everybody in sight. I mean, that's really what's going to happen here.
He said he wasn't going to. He was going to turn it over to other individuals to make sure that would happen.
Well, and all these guys in these congressional hearings and these Senate hearings on these confirmations, they're all asking about, are you going to go after people, basically? Or Liz, you know, there's a huge difference between making up stories and going after somebody so you can discredit them, you know, bankrupt them, run them through the process of defending themselves, and actually people who have committed crimes by destroying evidence. Talk about the J6 hearings. The congressional subcommittee destroyed the evidence. That's a felony right there, because you can't just the law says you have to preserve this evidence, and they destroyed it. Why would they do that?
Okay. But they've been doing that since what, 2016 at least, with Trump. They have made up everything.
So what I'm saying is, this going back to Steve and the ammo stuff, is there's a little post under that that shows a woman, it's a meme, drinking a cup of coffee with a smile in her bright-eyed face, and she says, they're doing it again because you didn't hang them the last time. That's what needs to happen, because this is treasonous stuff that they're talking about, destroying evidence, breaking the law, trying to bankrupt somebody, using lawfare across the board to go after all their enemies, and now the hunters have become the hunted, and now they're like, whoa, wait a minute, hey, stop, we want to be in a constitutional republic here, and we all have rights, right?
Well, let's hope this time, people do get prosecuted and things do happen.
Well, we'll see.
You know,
we'll see.
That's been the issue before. It isn't that the people didn't know. It was nobody had the...
No way. There was no method. There was no means of doing it. We'll see.
Yeah,
let's get back to that old John Harrington quote. Treason does not prosper. What is the reason? But if treason prosper, none dare call it treason.
None dare call it so. Let's take a break here.
If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
But a slow, glowing dream that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone I have cried, silent tears full of pride in a world.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Reading Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Fiesta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. It's a new year and we're very excited about the new leadership for our nation. Jones's Fort is offering the brand new Ruger LCP Max 380 at only $349 and the new Ruger Max 9 at just $395. Jones's Fort, serving all your firearm needs since 1962. You can find us at 1600 East Cypress Avenue or just give us a call, 530-222-3223.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Reading Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Had a rough year, but was it whistleblower hard? You can go ahead and mark space invasion off your bingo card. It's a proven fact you ain't gotta be Alex Jones to say, Mama, look up, there's a bunch of drones. And if you ask Uncle Sammy what he's got cooking, he'll say. If you don't like what you see, it's your own damn fault for looking whatever's going on. Sure seems giant. I never thought aliens would be FAA compliant. Whoa. Utah to Wisconsin to West Virginia. What the hell's in New Jersey? What's the agenda? Take me home. Country drones, beam me up or leave me alone. You can ask the Pentagon, they'll tell you something's wrong with your eyes. Yeah, they're the most expensive polygon that's ever been commissioned alive. The FAA looks at the DOD while the FBI looks at you and me. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's a UAE hovering over the nation. It's a drone as big as an SUV flying in Dorito formation. Whatever's going on, sure seems giant.
I like that guy.
That's pretty good.
He's really good. He's got a bunch of them. Well, you'll hear more and more of them as well. It's Jesse. What's his name? Jesse.
Jesse Wills or something.
Walls, I think, is it?
The only Walls I like. That and the border.
Jesse Wells.
Wells.
Yeah, Jesse Wells.
I was thinking Wells, but
yeah,
Wells.
He's got a bunch of stuff. So.
I think we got a caller. We've got Laura on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I wanted to thank my supervisor, Chris Kellstrom. Wednesday at our Clear Creek Community Water District meeting, he presented the board with, I think it was 2 pages of grants that we can use for improvements. Also, he... did the same for the VFW Hall in Anderson, and they were able to get a AC unit versus the swamp cooler they had. So, anyway, he did a lot of work, and I just appreciate that he cared enough to do this, and it had to be a lot of work. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, and I hope he will run again, and that's what I wanted to call and thank him for.
Very
All
good.
Right. Well, thanks for calling in about that. We appreciate that.
Chris is a great guy. We love him.
Anyway, well, thank you, guys, and I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you
All
so
right,
much.
Thanks. And with mm-hmm. that, we'll go to Lori. Good morning, Lori.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I was just going to give a local update. We had our last Board of Supervisor meeting on the 14th, and there was a presentation given by Public Health Dr. James Moo. He did a PowerPoint on the... H5N1, the bird flu kind of thing, what's going on here in Shasta County. This was put together on the agenda by Chair Cry. It was just a presentation, so that means there's no voting. It's just educational. And I'm happy to report Dr. Moo plans to be more available, or rather than saying, you know, we're summoning you to show up. We need you to show up. It's already hit the fan. We need you to show up. I got the impression he's going to be much different than Karen Ramstrom, D.O., when she was, like, very hard to secure to keep us abreast of what's going on. So that was R3. And the other thing is the public health is, you know, obviously that's a part of the thing of keeping us current so we don't have to endure the suffering like we did with the COVID mess. And I called public health regarding the advisory board because last meeting they appointed someone to a seat that was vacant for a while. And apparently the advisory board meets every other month, second Wednesday. And guess what time, folks? Yeah, it's not a night meeting so that you can attend. It's from noon to 2 p.m. And it's over there at Breslauer at the Boggs building, B-O-G-G-S building. Apparently, according to Kara Suler that I spoke to on Thursday, the public rarely ever shows up. Again, we're dealing with what happened with SCOE. When you have a 1:30 p.m. meeting, the teachers can't show up. The parents can't show up. So this is my call to action is, folks, if you want to understand what's going to start happening here with public health and any of the other things that might be going toward lockdown, masks, social distancing, and all the rest, pay attention. The next meeting's March 12th, That's a Wednesday. And apparently there's 15 people on the board. I am not exactly sure if Dr. Paul DeNuca, who's currently on that board or has been, will remain on the board. I think it's okay. I don't believe that's a conflict of him being on city council. So that's one thing.
Do you know if those meetings are going to be televised at all?
I am not sure if they audio or audio video. I am not aware of that, but yeah, that'd be a good point because it's, how many of us can show up in the middle of the day all the time?
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
Not me.
Just doing my follow up as I can, and then kind of keeping more with the current times with the inauguration day tomorrow, and whether there's going to be any pardons right away or soon or whatever that might be. I attend the election task force meetings on Sunday afternoons. I'm kind of new to attending them because, hey, we all have to work. So if anyone's interested in sending an encouragement letter to Tina Peters, who's, you know, obviously being a targeted person for what she did to expose the election fraud and ballots and everything else going on. So if people want to grab a pen and paper, letters can be sent to her because I'm hearing it's getting quite stressful. She's a, what do you call that when your son's a gold family,
gold
whatever.
Star.
Yeah, something where he died. And she's a cancer survivor, so there's a lot of issues going on with her being a patriot and trying to, you know, do everything she can with her last breath on this planet.
You might want to write a letter to Trump because he's going to be pardoning a lot of people, and she got pretty much railroaded down there in Arizona at that. Mm.
Yeah,
that
she did.
And so I will share the information. I've already sent a letter. It goes to Mesa, M-E-S-A County Detention Facility. Isn't that kind of interesting because she talks about the Mesa pattern. Anyway, that's the truth. It's called Mesa County Detention Facility. You have to use her full name, Tina Marie Peters. And this would be like a letter that you'd write to any your dear Aunt Betty. All right? So you write out Tina Marie Peters, P.O. Box 247, and that's Phoenix, Maryland, M.D., zip 21131. And you have to have on the envelope the booking number, which is 2024-0000-5047. And I tell you what, if I'm hearing all the things about the J6ers and the isolation and no charges, I mean, would you even want to eat the food they're providing you or drink their water?
I don't think you have a choice at that point.
You kind of don't. So I'm just saying a letter from anybody, you know, whether you're on one side or the other, but honestly, this could be you, me, or anybody else that wants to do the right thing, and then you get this horribly punished.
I got the zip code at 21131, but what's the other case number?
I'll repeat, the booking number has to be on the envelope, and I presume, I don't know, I've never been in jail or prison, but they open this and look at it to make sure there's not anything, whatever. So the booking number.
I haven't been there recently.
Mark.
Good times.
Booking number 2024-0000-5047. And I got this information from last Sunday's meeting. And then the final thing, I'm not going to go into details, but the individual in our town that's been a cyber bully and a disruptor and some kind of extreme activist, two court cases. I was in court all day Friday.
I don't know who you're. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know you are clueless, Mark and Linda and Dave. I know you have no clue
who
I'm talking about. So zero. So the dates are going to be. There's going to be a follow up coming up, and much will be exposed at that time. So I don't want to say I know nothing. The Judge and Schultz. So yeah, it's going down. Cross the line. We're done. We're fed up. Even. Maybe these liberal judges or whatever are seeing how awful, how evil, how destructive, and how people that are just completely unhinged, and then they call themselves a citizen journalist when what you and I and everybody else are being harassed for claiming such status as being an independent volunteer citizen journalist. Oh, there's much more. I'll just leave it at that because I have been a victim target of this individual. And, it's not going to their favor at all, far as I see it.
I guess we're going to move on now.
All right. Thanks for my call.
Thanks, Lori. We appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thank you.
All right. So, speaking of election fraud, I guess this just didn't make the paper. I don't know why. Orange County Democrat indicted on multiple election fraud charges faces up to 6 years in prison. There's no evidence. There's no evidence that anybody's committing any election fraud, except that if you go to the Heritage Foundation and go to the election fraud map, it shows a nationwide map of all the cases that are on election fraud. But there's no evidence.
It's funny when there's a Republican that does it, or when they can claim that a Republican does it. It makes front page news on almost every... Everyone's
well, they do it daily too, like the ticker tape.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Across the TV.
You know what's interesting is that I got on there and I got this story from one source, and then I always try to follow the source down because you know you never know what's going on, and you got to do your research and you got to homework. And so the first time I tried to get to this source, it kept telling me that source was blocked. And I did that several times, and then I scroogled and braved, and I did all that. I finally found this story on the second or third page of the browser before it came up, and it was on the OC Independent. Now, it's like, you know, like you say, if this was a Republican, and it's nationwide broke, they cheated. But if it's a Democrat, you can't find the story. And this is dated January 17th, 2025 from the OC Independent, breaking former Stanton Councilwoman Alice Van charged with multiple felonies related to running in a district she didn't live in. Have we heard about that around here ever? Somebody running in a district that they didn't live in? Yeah, I wonder. Just saying. And so this is by Matthew Cunningham. Alice Van, who was defeated for re-election in the Stanton City Council in November, has been charged with multiple felonies. I guess that's a felony if you do election.
That depends. That depends.
Huh.
And who you are and if they're going to prosecute you. We got somebody that's going to do something.
It depends on who you were doing it for, too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, were you getting a kickback, or were you giving them the kickback?
Now, her real name is Hong, like H-O-N-G, Alice Van of Anaheim, and she's been charged with one felony count of perjury, one felony count of offering false and forged documents to be filed, registered, or recorded, one felony count of filing false nomination papers, one felony count of not being entitled to vote at an election. The Orange County District Attorney's Office announced in a press release today. You know, how come we never hear about this stuff? I know that's a rhetorical question because
six companies own everything that you watch, see, or otherwise.
Yeah. Why would we want that reported?
Because there is no election fraud.
It's not happening.
There is no election fraud. You
will
These
not are not the drones you are looking for.
You will just
There's no problem.
Go back to work.
Yeah.
I'm using the Jedi mind thing. Go back to work and shut up.
I'm just saying. There's no issues. No issues.
Shut up.
No, I mean, we see it time and time again. If we actually, as a nation, were serious about having a nation moving forwards, we would have open source software, we would have backup blockchain, and we would have hand counts, and we would have surveillance on all of it the whole way through.
You mean transparency and truthful elections?
You will shut up. I'm emulating the mainstream news. You will shut up now.
Can we move on? Are we going to still talk
off of that topic? So I did have this that I wanted to bring up. So Jonathan Haidt, he's a qualified to write a damning study of political and parental and corporate neglect. He's a professor of ethical leadership at New York University and a social psychologist and author of a number of books. But here's kind of where it gets interesting. The statistics health quotes are sobering. 46% of teenagers say they are online almost constantly. Anxiety diagnoses amongst 18 to 25-year-olds in the U.S. have increased 92% since 2010. Nearly 40% of teenage girls in the U.K. who spend over 5 hours daily on social media have been diagnosed as clinically depressed. In this group, self-harm has tripled. Suicide rates for 10 to 14-year-old girls and boys have increased 167%, 92% respectively, and on it goes. A screen of self-loathing and alienation. phone-based childhood as opposed to traditional play styles in childhood has resulted in children sleeping less, playing with their friends less, talking to adults less, reading fewer books, and meanwhile, tech bros in Palo Alto are making billions designing social validation feedback loops to exploit the as Sean Parker, the first president of Facebook, said, as vulnerability in human psychology that keeps us addicted to the dopamine. Tellingly, senior leadership from teams like Meta, Google, Apple, Microsoft send their children to schools such as the Wardoff School in Pennsylvania, which bans all technology.
TikTok. So, I wanted to get out there this article about Representative Thomas Massey introduces legislation to audit the Federal Reserve.
I have a prediction.
This just came out.
It will be killed.
And it says give...
Or he will be killed.
On the article it says, give a man a gun and he can rob a bank. Give a man a bank and he can rob the world. But this was just introduced, so who knows? Let's hope that maybe...
Well, Ron Paul's probably introduced 30 or 40 of these. So I have no hope.
But you got to remember, we're in times that we haven't been in before, and we can be hopeful. Well, maybe it can happen. It would be nice, but anyway, I wanted to let people know about that.
It's the root of all our problems until somebody starts addressing it. We'll see if Trump is going to do it. I know he knows about it. We'll see.
Yeah. So here's the big thing moving forward. We are moving into a time to where anybody who's elected into Congress that doesn't understand technology needs to step down, or they need to learn about it. Because one way or another, we are in times to where AI and technology moving forwards are going to be quintessential to not only the survival of the United States, but the active duties of every daily citizen one way or another.
What's the name of that guy that looks like Jabba the Hutt in Congress? I can't think of his name
either. Oh, no, but this H.R. 2024.
The one that has the
cancerous tumor growth on the back of his neck?
No, that would be Fetterman.
Okay.
No, there's another one. Fetterman actually turned out to be almost a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than some of the rhinos.
Well, kind of. He went up and down, and he's got a few problems.
No,
but
I'm trying to think of the guy that was head of the committees, and he's a little short, dumpy guy.
Well, you think of this. I have a report.
Well, no, I got something to move on to. We got time. What do you got?
So... back on the 10th, Fox News reported that Massachusetts is refusing to work with ICE in this morning to deport even the most heinous of illegal aliens, including a Brazilian man who not once but twice was arrested for rape. Officials in Boston released the man for the first time, prompting ICE to track him down on their own. After they nabbed him, officials in the city of Barnesdale demanded to have him back and then released him a second time.
Kind of reminds me of that the movie... Blazing Saddles, where they're going up there and they're doing interviews for, and he says, what do you do? He says, rape, armed robbery, extortion, rape. And he says, well, why do you say rape twice? It's because I really like rape a lot.
Well, and so here's the second part of this. Also in Massachusetts, the Democrat governor there, Maura Hairley, butchered her name, but whatever, said she's shocked to learn that illegal aliens in her shelter systems haven't undergone any background checks ever. So now, four years after the crisis began...
Does that surprise you?
See, what they were doing is they were saying that the background checks need to come from the country that they're talking about. Somalia does background checks on guys before they send them out. Are you kidding me?
No, they just stick them on the plane and fly them in. What the hell?
So they're now going to start conducting those checks to search for bad guys. This was prompted by illegal aliens who have been raping and molesting children in her shelters. And others have been found with weapons and fentanyl.
Well, how many thousands have already made it into the country?
Millions.
Well, this is the point. None of them in the past 4 years, and their policy has been that they won't arrest them, they won't keep them, so guys can basically just go in there, do all of these heinous things, and immediately be released.
Okay,
amazing.
So I want to end on this note. Trump's presidential firsts, okay? This is an unlikely story. Donald Trump, a good-looking young billionaire who hinted at the possible presidency on 1987 on the Phil Donahue show, wound up winning the presidency as a Republican in 2016. Now, as the king of the deal and master of the comeback, he is being sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Trump is the first president in history to assume office without having held a previous public office or government job. He joins an exclusive group of leaders who were elected without prior elected office experience. That would be Zachary Taylor, Ulysses S. Grant, and a few others, Dwight D. Eisenhower. He's the second man in U.S. history to be elected to non-consecutive terms as president. In other words, the 47th and the 45th. The other one was Grover Cleveland, who was served as both 22nd and 24th president, back in, 1885 to 1897. Cleveland, Trump's return to the presidency marks a historic and rare political achievement, underscoring his enduring influence into American policy. He's only one of four presidential candidates in history to have survived assassination attempt. I'm getting there. And he is the only one to have been targeted multiple times. The FBI identified two assassination attempts and two additional plots against Trump, spanning both his 2016 and 24 campaigns. The first known attempt occurred in June of 16 during a campaign rally in Las Vegas, Nevada. Michael Smith, Sanford, a 20-year-old British national, attempted to seize the police officer's firearm with the intent of assassinating Trump. We've also got the Butler thing with Thomas Matthew Crooks. We've got that same year Ryan Wesley Ralph, armed with an AK-47 on the golf course. So there's the fact that he is going to get sworn in tomorrow is amazing in itself. And he survived multiple assassination attempts. That adds another layer to his already historic and unconventional political career, underscoring the risks faced by modern political figures. So we've got a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. And I
think it starts like about 9 o'clock our time, the different stuff. But, you know, you may want to check that out.
Tomorrow is the big day, and I guess he takes the reins when he's sworn in, and we go from there.
All right. We'll see y'all next week.
All right. Very good. So government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fires, and a servant and a fearful master. See you on the flip.
Don't compare it with the government. All gun control is racist. Be praying for our president. We'll see y'all next week.
Medical Center.